Welcome to Indie Movie Cast, the podcast for indie movie makers by indie movie makers. I'm Alex.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah, for joining us again. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm
thank you, Hannah.
Yeah, I'm very glad you're back. Dominic may or may not show up. We'll see. but
this is like a weekly thing with him. So it's interesting. Will he show up? Will he not show up? Yeah. Time will tell.
We'll see. Well, he may grace us with his presence. But we do have Hannah here, and I'm very happy because you're one of my favorite guest hosts. You have a lot to say. That's very intelligent and exciting.
Thank you, Alex. In other words, I'm long-winded.
But you talk really fast.
Long-winded is good in our show sometimes. But
it's long-winded, but you talk really fast, so you can, you get all that information out in not too great of a time scale.
Good.
Yeah, we like you, Hannah, and so I want to welcome you. And I also wanted to welcome some new listeners. I don't know who you are, but I see the numbers growing. And so it's very exciting. We were getting some feedback a little bit here and there. We got a couple comments on iTunes. We got some ratings, and we just appreciate that. We love feedback, and I just want to remind you, listeners, we really haven't had many comments on the Indie Movie Cast page just yet. I like to keep things interactive. So if you disagree with us with movies, or if you have any kind of rebuttal or anything you want to add, please just make a comment, and it may get read on the show. And I do encourage our listeners, because I know you're out there, to do that.
Yeah, we haven't had an email or a question or anything quite yet, so it'll be interesting when that day comes.
But I don't blame you for just being a silent listener. I silently listen to podcasts. I hardly ever comment myself on other podcasts, so I know how it goes. But I do want to stay on what you guys want us to talk about. What you want, and if you have any rebuttals. I know we're very opinionated, so please just let us know, and we'll see what you got to say.
Address those issues.
but Hannah, you were a host before. You're back, and I wanted to bring you back this week because you have a very exciting thing going on in your world. If you've been listening, Jay and I are part of Ultimatum Productions, or
Pictures.
Ultimatum Pictures at ultimatumpictures.com. We're indie movie makers in Albuquerque, and Hannah is an indie movie maker as well. She has her own production company called Heatstroke. And Heatstroke just came out with the first episode of its new web series, Date Doctor TV. This Might Sting is the subtitle. So, Hannah, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. Then I wanted to talk about this new phenomenon, this webisode trend that's going on in the indie world. So Hannah, why don't you tell us a little bit about Date Doctor?
Okay, I'd be happy to. Basically, I started hearing a lot about webisodes. The TV show that I was working on at the time was doing some webisodes just to tide their viewers over in between seasons. That was Wildfire on ABC Family. Uh-huh. And I really liked the concept because I'm not extremely computer savvy, but I understand that it's the wave of our generation and we're all sitting online all day long. And so I kind of wanted to tap into the viral video world. And I also know most of our attention spans are like gnats. So I thought these little 1 to 3 minute videos might be really cool. And the first thing I got hooked on was Prom Queen, which is just super cool. It was 81 minute episodes and I watched them all in 1 hour and a half sitting.
Right, Prom Queen. Yeah, I did take the liberty and I looked up web series, and Prom Queen was one of the more notable ones. But a web series, in case people are completely illiterate, even though they listen to podcasts, web series are basically series on the web. Wow, that's a great definition, isn't it?
I don't think you're allowed to use the word series or web in the definition, so try again.
Well, Wikipedia defines it as a series of episodes released on the internet or also by mobile or cellular phone, a part of a newly emerging medium called web television. A single instance of a web series program is called an episode. The term webisode has been largely deprecated. Well, maybe we won't call yours webisodes then, but the more notable web series is, like you said, Prom Queen. There's Lonely Girl 15, which started out as people just thinking this was a real girl vlogging, but it turned out it was a whole series about her crazy boyfriend or something.
Didn't that turn out to be like a major corporation actually behind that?
Yeah, and
like it wasn't a real lonely girl at all. That was an actress.
No.
Yeah, it was an actress. It was all
real. That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's true. And that's what I'm seeing. There's a lot of TV series, like you said, Wildfire, coming out with web stuff. So you got into Prom Queen. Go on with your story. I didn't mean to interrupt. But.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I watched a few different ones. There's also one that I can't think of the name now. It was by the creators of My So-Called Life. And it was kind of hopefully prepping people to launch an actual television show. And they were like 11 to 18 minute episodes, and they just didn't do very well. And the TV series never even happened. That was one of the first things I learned, was just length. I thought it was really important. So I just started writing scripts, and I wrote 10 3-minute scripts about the concept of bad dates. And basically what I was thinking is that we've all been on really bad dates. So take a couple bad date ideas, throw in some surreal urban legends, and watch this guy take a journey down the search for true love that goes pretty much from bad to worse.
So, but yours is with a twist.
Oh, it has a twist. What does that mean?
Well, yours is like bad dates, but with a twist.
I said
it. Like,
surreal
it's not...
urban legend.
Yeah. Urban legend, the twists. Well, I mean, they're kind of quirky. I kind of hate that word, but I say it all the time. Quirky, little date, mini.
They're like anecdotes. They're like vignettes. They're like, if you talk to someone about bad dates, and we've all been on them, then these are the unimaginable bad dates that could only happen in like a surreal place.
Mm-hmm. But you also have a story arc going. It's all you also have these characters interacting with each other on a series to series or episode to episode basis. So it's about this one character and his dates and his adventures with his friends, right?
Well, yeah. So I didn't want to, I like the idea of these just kind of tiny, teeny, tiny short stories, but I also wanted to, hook viewers, and that's what was great about Prom Queen, is immediately you liked the characters, hated some of the characters, but you wanted to see where they were going. So this definitely is a setup of three roommates who are all very different and have great chemistry and should be fun and entertaining to watch. And then the girl next door, who's got a couple tricks up her sleeve too. And so obviously, in the typical, even Friends fashion, there's got to be a lot of hit and misses, missed connections between potential love interests between the three guy neighbors and the one girl neighbor, as well as, all of their current exploits trying to find Mr. and Mrs. Right. I definitely had to think about it in terms of a season arc as well as, an episode gag by episode gag.
It might be interesting also to note that the star or the main character of your webisodes is played kind of by a local go-to actor that all us indie movie makers go to, named Chad Brummett, who was also a guest host last week on the show.
Yeah, Chad's in it, so and we love Chad as well. So it's online. You launched the first episode. We had a party last week. It was really exciting. So it's at datedoctortv.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. And we have a Facebook page, and we're also up on YouTube if you search for Date Doctor. The first episode's called Head Over Heels, but definitely check out the website because we had a local web designer create this awesome masterpiece of a website.
Yeah. So check it out. It's online. And we'll definitely keep an eye on it here at Indie Movie Cast.
And there'll be definitely continually new content coming up over the next year. I mean, every week or so, we're going to have new stuff up. So keep checking back.
Cool. So let's talk about web series. So
let's do it.
This is a chance for the indie movie maker to have his own TV series, kind of. And YouTube, you said Dave Doctor is on YouTube. Everyone knows about what YouTube is, and they kind of encourage it. They have playlists now. There's certainly a lot on those. That Lonely Girl one that we mentioned was on YouTube. And I would think that it's really hard to get a good web series going. I mean, there's a lot to it. There's I mean it's basically shooting little movies. Or I don't know, how do you do it? Do you shoot them separately, or do you shoot one and cut them up, or what is your approach?
Well, because I'm pretty familiar with shooting something that's, you know, 10 minutes or 10 pages or less in a weekend, because I've been doing it forever, I wanted to shoot as much as I could in a weekend.
You do the 48-hour film festivals like we do.
Yeah, and even in film school, that was a pretty good gauge, is we had to make films that were 10 minutes or less. And I pretty much knew that I could get that out in 2 or 3 days. So I would say that because these were 3 pages each, I thought, oh, we'll do 3 in a weekend and we'll essentially call it the pilot. So we combined them and made it one script, but it's technically 3 episodes. And we did shoot them in 1 weekend. So in 2 days, we shot 3 episodes, which I think we'll kind of keep as a standard procedure. In fact, at one point here, we're probably going to do 4 in a weekend once we're really good at it.
Cool. So you're going to kind of go 3 at a time, and but you're going to release them weeks apart. Yeah, I mean, there's no real way to do it. That's kind of the beauty of it. You mentioned earlier there was one you listened to that was 15 minutes long. There was one that you watched that was 1 minute long. So it's kind of a free enterprise for TV web series is out there, and there's a lot of people here in Albuquerque doing them. You're not the only one, Hannah. I could think of at least 2. Off the top of my head, that are filming currently. And so I guess my next question is how do you guys think you can stand out as a web series?
Because I've thought about it really hard for a year, because, not to bore anyone, but essentially we shot this pilot, the 3 first episodes, a year ago, and then I spent a lot of time doing research and thinking about how you get proper attention. And to be honest, I'm a little bit of a snob when it comes to this. I didn't want to throw them on YouTube. I didn't want to just throw them out there with a lot of trash and have them, like, just get forgotten about. And so what I kind of did was run around in circles for a year. But we tried to get advertising dollars to pay for them, do product placement. We tried to sell them. I talked to a lot of people in LA who loved them but didn't feel that based on 3 they could make any commitment. So essentially, so it was always the debate between, do we just get these online, try to get a bazillion hits, and then consequently get, you know, attention, or do we try to get attention now so that they can, so we can have a huge budget for them, you know, have them placed properly. I mean, Prom Queen had huge budget and proper distribution. And so anyway, so that's where the website came from. We thought, let's get this a real website. Let's be able to track all the hits. Let's have a forum where people can discuss the episodes so that we can stay in touch with our viewers. But let's also throw them on YouTube, try to get out there with the mix, use a Facebook page, use everything we can to kind of blast them into the world. And, you know, we're starting right here in our local film community, but our next meeting the webmaster has come on as kind of an overall producer to make sure we get these done. He is... Essentially, we're going to try to hit up a national market. So if it's like a cool indie film magazine in Michigan wants to interview us, we want that to happen. We need to start reaching our tentacles out, you know, to the east and to the west, north, south, and make this happen. Well, I was just going to agree with you, Alex, that there's no set road. I mean, we both, Rebecca Wiggins, the star, the female lead, and my co-creative producer, you know, we sat on a panel and we discussed how there is absolutely no way written in stone to make this happen. We're so new at this still that there's not really a set in stone way to figure this out.
Well, but I think you kind of are falling into what a lot of the other web series are doing that I've noticed. I was looking into it today. There's one called The Guild. And The Guild is somebody, it's written and directed and stars a girl who I guess is a big World of Warcraft player, and it's kind of about her and her Warcraft friends and their adventures. And what they do is they have a site, and then they also have it on YouTube, and they spread it all out, but it's all linked to this one site. And that one's actually gotten kind of huge. I don't know if you know this, Hannah, but there is an award ceremony for webisodes, and it's called the It's called the Streamies.
Well, of course there is.
Yeah, so they last year was the first year of their award ceremony, and they gave the Guild Best Comedy Series. And I was watching some episodes. It's kind of cute, but it's kind of bad acting, but I really appreciate the determination. It seems like this web series is something that was something like you. Like, they started out just making episodes for free, and then they got some kind of sponsorship, and they kind of got huge. And they're all over YouTube. And anyway, check it out. I mean, it's kind of nerdy. It's about
I've seen some of the Guild.
But that's the one that I thought maybe yours could emulate a little bit. Just when I was thinking. But yeah. other things that the Streamies awarded were stuff like Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog. You guys have heard of that, right?
That's Josh Whedon's, right?
Yeah, so Josh Whedon, Joss Whedon, I should say, is, he's the guy behind Firefly and Buffy and stuff. He put out a 3-webisode series called Dr. Horrible, starring Neil Patrick Harris, and it got kind of huge, and that won something in the Streamies. But the Streamies are interesting because they pair off indie stuff with bigger things like Battlestar Galactica, The Face of the Enemy, won the Best Dramatic Web Series. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it takes to submit to that thing, but I think it's coming up in March, Hannah, so you might want to check that out too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so it's definitely an approaching phenomenon, I think. I think it hasn't really found its niche. It hasn't really found a good way to show them, but I think if you keep it up, and I think if these other series keep it up, I think there's gonna kind of develop some kind of way to find these and watch them like you watch TV. I mean, what do you think, Jay?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. I guess you really have to be in that world. I mean, I am kind of unfamiliar with a lot of webisode series out there. Mm-hmm. And thinking about it, it's like, why don't I search for any? I it seems like a simple thing to do, really. But, it's really, I think with that first spark, that first episode, really, you got to capture the attention, like, quick. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I mean, I got into a web series. It was Clark and Michael. Clark, whatever his name is, who's going to be in the hot tub time machine, and then Michael Cera, and it was basically about those two guys, and their little Hollywood adventures. And I think that's about, the only web series that I somehow found and got into. And
do you feel like Date Doctor grabs your attention?
Oh, I absolutely do. Yeah.
I think it does. I think from what I've seen online, it's kind of unique. There's a lot of like soap opera stuff, like you said, the prom one and things like
yeah.
that. There's a lot of comedy stuff, like Jay mentioned, Michael Cera, and there's a lot of tech TV type of shows. A lot of people going on and talking about computer programming and things like that. There's a lot
but
of.
But would that be considered like that. a web series or anything, or is that just?
Well, why not?
Is that kind of considered the same thing? I don't know.
Well, why not?
That's like
TV dramas versus other things on TV. They still compete with each other. I mean, and speaking of the tech stuff, there's a channel called Revision 3. Have you ever guys heard of that? And
no.
Well, Revision 3 is something that the Dig people made, and it's a TV channel on the web, and they have shows that are on certain times. And the thing is, there's nothing really with narratives like yours, Hannah. It's more just tech stuff and stuff like that. And there's like an anime show, and anyway, my point is there's all these things starting, and it seems like something's just gonna come out as the big one, like the Netflix of online webisode viewing, and you just gotta, I don't think it's YouTube, because like you said, Hannah, YouTube's a mishmash of all kinds of stuff. I think, but I think there may be something on the horizon, but I looked all day today and I couldn't find it.
What I'm pretty fascinated about is the determination aspect of this, because if you're gonna go into it, it's so easy to make 3 episodes and be like, Well, okay. Yeah, and kind of get bored with it. Or just, making them. It seems like if you're going to do this and you're going to go in for the long haul to get those fans and generate what Prom Queen has gotten and those other ones that, the guild, you got to do it continuously, continuously. Is that something that's, I mean, how do you feel about that, Hannah? Do you feel like you could get burnt out about it, or do you think it might be, because yours is a high production web series. It's not rinky dink like, some of these other ones that are just kind of slapped together. Yours actually has like pretty high quality production value going on. I mean, is that something that, I mean, how do you feel about going into something like that for the long haul? Keep
Well,
generating those. Because it's
I
hard to
mean,
get a crew every weekend and it's hard to do this every, you know what I
I
mean?
have a, yeah, no, totally. I have a couple thoughts about that. I mean, because that is true. You said it's pretty easy to throw, three episodes together. I b beg to differ. I mean, you guys make movies every weekend, so maybe it's easy for you, but it's a fucking workout for me. And it is that. It's like I hate asking people to do things for free. I mean, that's the indie filmmaking world, and we all do it for each other, happily. But it's like, it is hard. You have to ask a lot of people. You have to rely a lot on volunteer support. It still costs us a lot of money. And so yes, it's absolutely daunting. That's why I think, to be honest, I spent 9 months looking for funding because I want it to remain high production value. I want to be able to pay people to do it. So I, wasted or not wasted, whatever, 9 months looking for someone to give us a huge budget. It didn't happen. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I'm not burnt out after throwing this party and seeing everyone's response again to the first episode, and now hearing the response that we're getting from, the website, I'm overwhelmed by people's excitement about the concept. And then today I reread, the first 10 scripts that I've read, and like the content keeps me going. Like I think it's funny. I think these characters have really cool growth. I think it's kind of sexy. I think it's something that people haven't seen before, I hope. And so I, yeah, no, it doesn't seem boring to me at all. I'm really, really excited. But I do, the money thing for me is the only issue.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the show ever can turn boring. I'm just saying how do you keep that enthusiasm? Because you as the director, writer, you can keep up that enthusiasm. You can instill it in other people. But how do you do that? How do you instill it to like a crew? Like, every month they get together and they do it. How do you make people do this on a consistent basis? Because it's like shooting these things that I think is so daunting. Not like the concept or the content. That is all fun and
Well,
everything, but it's
I don't know, Jay. How do we do it? I mean, it's just you just
well, we don't
gotta
do it
do.
every weekend. We kind
Well,
of like
she doesn't
build
do
up
it
a
every.
momentum.
Well, she doesn't do it every weekend either. She's talking about three episodes in one weekend, and those would go in like every 2 weeks. So I would think
Well,
like
I
maybe
know,
once a
but
month she do it in a weekend,
why? Well,
right?
yeah, and okay, if that's how you're gonna do it, once a month.
I think it's like gearing up for a feature. It does require a larger amount of commitment than the shorts that we're all used to making. But I think that's something that's exciting about it, and it's exciting. This is the same reason people work for you guys, is they believe in you, and it's very humbling and exciting for me that people believe in what I'm doing, and they believe in the web series, and they believe in the t acting talent and the crew that's involved. And I would say people want to be involved. I mean, the cast is excited to sign up for potentially 6 months of shooting. And yes, it will be only one weekend every 6 weeks or something like that. But we're gonna have to do a lot of work to get our schedules all lined up, and they're gonna have to like watch their haircuts and watch their facial hair growth and stuff like
Or
that.
you could
So
just write
it's
that
gonna
stuff
be,
in.
yeah. I mean,
Wow.
it's also kind of a show where that's not very important. I mean, thank God Chad cut his hair. I way prefer his hair now than how it was during our first
Yeah.
filming, and that doesn't matter. So.
Well, this extends about what we were talking about last week with Chad. It's a labor of love type thing. It's a you know it, we you don't you're not doing it for the money. I mean, you like you said yourself, you looked. I mean, you may be doing it for the money eventually, but you looked for money. It's hard. I mean, would you if you had money, you'll just throw it around anyway. Especially to things that aren't your thing. It's hard to get funding for these things. But I think what we said last week about perseverance, about keeping it up, and I think the same thing for this podcast. This podcast, we do it. We're not making money off this. We're doing it for free. It's something I just want to do, to spread some knowledge and get some fans, to be honest. I'm looking for fans for Ultimatum. That's the number one reason to do this podcast. I mean, I want to do it in an informative, fun way, but it's for the exposure, and it's hard work. It's work every week, but you know, this is what we do as indie people. We're artists. We're not corporations here yet.
Yet. What were you about to say, Dominic?
No, it's exactly what you're saying, Alex. Was basically that there is this like passion, this love that indie filmmakers have, but that it extends. I mean, we are willing to help each other. We're willing to be creative, and we're willing to not work for anything just for the passion and love of being artistic.
Yeah, and basically, I mean, the thing is, like, you know, if this is what you want to do, and you got a J job, you know, you got to let go of your weekends. It's like, you know, this is my only time off. I got to do this, and you have to. You have to do it. If you truly love it, you're gonna do it.
And the work will show, and I think it does for Date Doctor, and I think you guys are right. And Hannah, I like what you said earlier about the response, that really keeps you going. I mean, just this podcast, like I said, we're not getting comments, but we're getting listeners. And that's enough to keep me going. It's like, oh, well, there's, you know, a number of people who regularly listen to this show is enough to make me keep doing it. And I think you'll see that too, Hannah. It'll grow exactly over time, and it'll inspire you, even if you're not making money yet.
Well, thank you. I hope so.
Yeah, but so I think it's a good idea. If you guys have a webisode idea and you're willing to do... If you're willing to flesh it out and do it, I mean, do it. Even if the first one's bad, it can get better over time. The pilots of your favorite TV shows were bad. I mean, I can't think of one, but it's very common. Usually, the first season of your favorite TV show is bad, and I would say the stuff like The Guild. I would say I watched the first episode and I watched the latest episode, and there's been three seasons of that, and there is a significant difference in quality. She got better as she went along, and she got viewers as she went along, and now she won a Streamy. And
there you go.
Yeah, and those things. I mean, I think they're a little bit. I think her show's a little bit clever. I think it's for a certain audience, but it's not nothing that we couldn't do, or you, the listener, couldn't do. If you're committed to it. If you're someone like Hannah or someone like us that can bring people together and inspire people, I think that it's totally possible, and I think that it may be the future. I mean, TV is already on the way out. Everybody's watching Hulu these days. Everybody's watching TV online. Everybody's torrenting. I mean, the younger generation. It's TV isn't going to last in its current form. I'm sorry to say. If you really love watching TV with commercials every 2 seconds, yeah, it's
yeah.
Well, yeah, it'll definitely change, but TV has gotten so much better. Sopranos set the bar for that, and you know, it's so much, it's more filmic, it's, you know, it's better, and I think that'll transfer to webisodes as well. I mean, it's something growing in the business,
and yeah, well, TV totally had to.
But what you're saying to, though, Alex, sure, is like television. The way it is now, where 24 is on Mondays at this time, is changing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll never go and watch a TV show when it's in its allotted slot anymore. It's whenever you want on the
web. So, yeah, I said it before. We're in a transitional period. You guys will see. This internet thing, it's only about 10 years old, and look where it's gone. I mean, it's more than 10 years old, but it got popular in the past 10 years, and it's just going to get ridiculous in the next 10. Everything's going to be online. That's what I think. That's my prediction. I think if you're starting webisodes now, it could only get bigger from here. It's not going to just fizzle away unless you let it.
What I would
life is going to be on.
I think it would be cool if anyone who's listening is on Facebook and they join Date Doctor TV, the group, and then just leave a comment and saying that this is where you heard of the webisode series. That would be awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, feedback would be awesome, guys. I guess I don't count on it because I know how it is, you know. But it is inspiring. So if you guys want to leave us comments on iTunes, if you want to leave Hannah comments on Date Doctor on Facebook or on her site, just know we do see those. We do, and they do keep us going, because
it's becoming a bigger thing. I mean, I want to like say, I mean, as definitely like it gets closer to MacGruber, I just have to say that it was such an inspiring atmosphere to be around, because you know Yorma and the Lonely Island group. I mean, they started in an internet world, and they definitely got a following, and it's definitely carried on and had. Like, now it has, like, a huge audience, like, on YouTube. I mean, if you're listening to this, just keep doing what you're doing, because, you know, in the long run, you're going to show people that you are creative, that you can tell stories, and that it's going to get appreciated by somebody out there. And, you know, maybe you'll make money, maybe you won't, but it's, you know, it's all about entertaining people. That's what you should be focused on. It's not about making money. And I think indie filmmakers are definitely in that whole little vibe of that pulse of just doing that because of the love. And so keep that going. Keep going.
And that being said, keep going. But make them good, though. I mean, don't just keep going with something that sucks. I mean, make it good. Look, watch it like you're somebody that's not you. Watch it like you're somebody just coming in across it on the internet. Put yourself in that mind frame and improve your work as you do it. Improve it. Don't just put out stuff to put out stuff either.
Well, I'll tell you, inside jokes don't work anymore. I mean, you can't. I mean, you could if you're just doing something you and your
friends.
If
your
friends are supposed to laugh at, that's fine. But, you know, if you're going to put something out there, you know, inside jokes, you know, there's no real place for them. If your audience doesn't get you, then it's not going to work.
Yep. So, Hannah, keep it up. We believe in you. We believe in Date Doctor, and we'd love to see it succeed. So.
Well, yeah. We're like cheerleaders tonight.
Yeah, we are. It's we have to cheer ourselves on sometimes, man. It's a hard thing. Like Hannah said, it's hard.
Thank you very much. And also, I just looked up the Streamies, and the submission period ended January 22nd, which is actually good news, because I think we could have a good chance in 2011. So any listeners should get going. They have a year to get it going.
Yeah, because I think that might be a good way to find new listeners too, because that's something that could only grow as well. But I think that's enough for our first subject, guys. So if you have a segment, if you have a web series, maybe link it to us. We might talk about it on the show as well. But we're gonna go on to Schmollywood, and we'll see you all there. Okay, Schmollywood. It's Schmollywood time. This is where we talk about all the happenings in Hollywood. And it's another dry week in Schmollywood, guys. I tried to find some cool news for us to talk about. Nothing big like the Oscar announcement this week. In fact, we got more reboots. Man.
Yes.
See, and I thought Troll Talk, our new segment from last week, I thought that'd be something we could do like maybe once a month, just compile everything. But man, every week we get news that's like this.
Similar.
Yeah. So.
Very true.
Yeah. So here are the reboots for the week. The Three Musketeers. If you remember, they made at least one Three Musketeers movie in the 90s, right? Disney did.
Kiefer Sutherland was in that, right? And Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, I remember really liking those. I haven't seen
and Charlie him. Sheen.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in years, but it looks like producer Lionel Wigram, a former Warner Brothers creative consultant who oversaw the first three Harry Potter films and went on to create / pitch / write Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes, is producing this Three Musketeers. So. So is it time, guys? Do we want this? It sounds like it's going to be kind of Sherlock Holmesy.
Yeah, why not? I have no problem.
Yeah, me
go
too.
Go for it, you know.
Why not? Just do it. I mean, it's different. I don't know. Comedy is, it's for me personally, and I might offend people, but I don't know. Comedy, I just don't take it seriously. You know, I think it's a very, comedy is always expressing itself on what is around at the time. And
well, I think I may have misinformed you. It's not going to be funny. I guess it would be funny like Sherlock Holmes, but they want to make it really action-y is what they want to do.
Oh, so it's and more sexy. Like the serious Three Musketeers as opposed to like the comedy.
Yeah, so, well, No, not the Three Amigos, dude. The Three Musketeers.
Oh, okay. I got confused.
No, I would be so mad if they made another Three Amigos. No, the Three
Musketeers. Really? I would be totally down for that.
No.
But Three Musketeers, I'm totally down for it, too. It's not like Robin Hood, where it's like, okay, we've seen this a million times.
We've only seen this one about four times.
The last time we saw something like that was The Man in the Iron Mask, where they barely briefly touched on the Three Musketeers. And, you know, I'm kind of curious what it could be. As long as it's not, like, in the same vein as Gladiator, Robin Hood kind of feel, I think it could be interesting.
Definitely be a more Sherlock Holmes kind of feel.
Well, for me, the only reason this concept works is because of the involvement of the guy who did the Harry Potters and the Sherlock Holmes, because otherwise, like, I'm pretty tired of guys wearing, like, MC Hammer pants in the 16th century. Like, that's not interesting to me. But it's that look and that feel, I'll definitely want to see it.
Well, yeah, I think it could have gone the Robin Hood way, Dominic. I think they could have made this more of an action epic rather than an action sexy thing. So, yeah, I'm down too. Why not? Three Musketeers it up. If you're going to reboot shit, just reboot that one. Why not?
I think that's an old enough classic that you can, you know, reboot it every 10, 20 years. It's not like Spider-Man, I guess.
It also hasn't been sexy yet. Like, the 90s one wasn't sexy, so if they're going to do a real sexy twist, that could be cool.
Yeah, that 90s was more of a family film. It was more family action, like Zorro and stuff. But, okay, moving on.
As long as they don't cast Chris O'Donnell, I'm good.
Yeah. I'm glad he fell off the radar, too. So here's a comedy, Dominic. Arthur. Do you guys remember Arthur, the Dudley Moore, Liza Minnelli movie?
Not really. I mean, I saw that and I looked it up, but I was like, I don't think I ever watched the original Arthur.
Well, Arthur, I've seen it. I actually kind of like that movie. It's really dated. It's really old, but it's about a really rich guy I guess he was born rich, and he's about to inherit his family fortune, but he's just a big drunk and he just goes around town causing havoc and spending money, which doesn't sound too great when I'm describing it, but Dudley Moore, you guys remember who Dudley Moore was, right? He was famous for being like a funny drunk, funny British drunk. But this new one, it has Russell Brand in it, who's the Forgetting Sarah Marshall British guy who always hosts the MTV Awards. Is playing the character, and then Meryl Streep apparently has some kind of role in it. So so if you guys haven't seen it, I don't know, you might not have much to say, but does this movie sound appealing to y'all?
No.
I gotta see a preview.
No, why not? Why not?
Me too. I have to see a trailer. I'm not convinced that I would even like this movie. I don't know.
I can't stand Meryl Streep.
You can't stand Meryl Streep? Everyone loves Meryl Streep. She's America's grandma.
Yeah, I can't do it. Sorry.
What do you have against Meryl Streep?
Her face.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Oh, so it's like Forrest Whitaker and me. He just makes me want to.
Yeah, right, so I could put Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts in a room together and let them just starve to death.
Starve to death.
Why don't you
throw like a sword in the middle of the room so they can at least kill each other? It'd be more interesting.
I feel that way about Julia Roberts, but not Meryl Streep. I'm down with Meryl Streep. I don't know why, but I don't know. I kind of want her to be my auntie or something. Okay, so moving on. They're talking about a Taxi Driver remake.
That's weird, with Lars von Trier or something taking the reins, but
yeah, Lars von Trier, who makes really, you know, dark, strange movies, wants to remake Taxi Driver. And I guess Scorsese and De Niro would have some kind of involvement. And I have a confession to make, guys. I have never seen Taxi Driver.
What?
It's one
I did several years back.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that fell through the cracks for me. One of those must-sees that I haven't seen. Everybody has those, right? I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh, I have so many of those. I'm like the worst film student ever, but
It took me so long to watch that movie. And when I finally did,
top five favorite movies.
Is it?
Really? It's really good. It's so weird, though. It's off-kilter. It's a totally, like, it, if you're expecting something from it, it's probably not what you're expecting.
It's definitely a movie different. of its time.
I'm not
sure. It's just
Alex and I talked a bunch today about the Hurt Locker, and I'm not bringing that up, but you know, I mentioned the idea of like an anti-hero, and that's like the ultimate anti-hero.
Yeah, so you love that movie, Hannah. How do you feel about this remake idea?
Oh, I think it's just
what's a reboot,
gonna
right? It's not a remake.
Well,
this is a remake. It's that.
I think a remake.
Yeah, I guess a reboot is when you reboot a franchise. Like
franchise,
you,
that's gonna have sequels.
That's gonna have sequels. A remake is just remaking a movie. I guess.
I don't really
What it said on the website, it was kind of like it might be a prequel or a sequel or something.
Yeah, they didn't know.
What I thought I read from Alex's link was that it's a full-on remake with Martin Scorsese directing and Robert De Niro, but with Lars von Trier's like set rules, which he's done on a different film. And I just think that's like kind of bogus. I think it's bullshit. I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah, well, Lars von Trier plays like this game where I looked it up once. Yeah, he has some rules when he makes. He's like in a. Was him and some other directors make similar type, or they don't make similar movies, but they make movies with these same rules. Like,
is it the character? Dogma?
I don't know. The characters have to do this and that, blah blah blah. I mean, it's all kind of silly, if you ask me. But
really,
yeah, I don't know. I looked it up once. Look up Lars von Trier. He's a strange guy, but
he's also doing a movie where him and another actor. Let's see if I can find it real quickly. Get together around Christmas time and shoot 3 minutes of a movie, and it's not going to be done for another like 20 years or something.
Yeah, well,
like that.
Yeah, so he's, yeah, I heard about that too. He's been shooting a movie where some guy grows up and they shoot a little bit.
He just gets old, yeah.
Older, yeah. And so it's like
that
it's
sounds cool to me.
Yeah, but I'm down for that stuff too. Why not? Yeah, it's a weird experiment. They've done other things.
Udo Kier is the actor. He's always in weird movies too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would think this Taxi Driver remake. You said it, like you said, Jay. I haven't seen it, but it's an old movie. You know, if they make it dark and weird, I know it's not a happy story.
I think that's one of those. I think that's one of those movies that you don't need to touch. There's no reason
you can't,
to touch
no.
it.
You
there
can't,
isn't.
It's not a Three Musketeers.
Hannah's right.
It's not a concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a concept film. You have to. It's like a classic. Like it's almost sacrilege.
Wow. But let's move on. We'll see how that goes, I guess. I didn't put this one on the schedule, but I just want to bring it up briefly. I think you're working on it, Hannah. But the Coen brothers are remaking True Grit here in New Mexico. Has anybody
well,
seen
they, they do not want it to be considered a remake of the John Wayne movie. It's a better version of the book.
Of the book. So it's a new adaptation, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. have you guys seen True Grit? How do you guys feel about that?
No,
no? I haven't either. That's another.
I've seen parts of it. I've seen parts of it, but the acting is so horrible, and it was obviously like a courtesy Oscar for Wayne, and Glenn Campbell is like so awful, and it's such a Disney movie, and it just seems so happy, and I can't wait to see the Coen Brothers' dark, bloody version because it's a great story.
Cool.
Here, guys, take this with a grain of salt because he, like, has so many movie ideas that who knows which one he'll ever make. But Quentin Tarantino said that he would like to do a Western, but not set in Texas, but instead during slavery times, is what he says.
I saw that as well today. That was an article on Joe Blow talked about that. Yeah, I think I'm down for anything Quentin does at this point. Give it to me, Quentin, except for more Death Proof type stuff.
Yeah, Death Proof can. Yeah, Death Proof and Kill Bill Volume 2 kind of stuff can, you know, go by the wayside.
I'm still down with Kill Bill Volume 2.
No, I'm with you, Alex. I definitely look forward to any Quentin Tarantino movie because
there's still something to look forward to.
People
yeah.
that's like, you know, he's definitely come from the indie world and he has this great way of looking at the world, so I'm interested. I mean, definitely Death Proof wasn't my favorite, but I'm always interested to see what he has next.
Well, and slavery in this country can be looked at by several different perspectives, including the perspective of the actual slaves. There were a lot of slaves that were happy being slaves, or they thought they were, at least, even though slave, you know. So I don't know what Quentin's gonna do, but I'm sure it'll be educational and awesome. Yeah, I'm down for that as well. Real quickly, the movie Splice got bought by Joel Silver. We talked about it when we were talking about Sundance, but that's an indie movie that got
our first movie.
No, not Ultimatum Splice, but
they made a movie called Splice like back in 2002 for a as a student
for college. Yeah, and it's not the same Splice as this movie. So anyway, I just want to mention that because it's indie, and we were talking about last week how these indie movies getting bought by studios are getting few and far between. So congrats to Splice. One other thing to Oh, go ahead, Hannah.
Just a quick question. Maybe this is redundant, but what was indie about Splice that has Adrian Brody in it?
Well,
it wasn't backed by a studio, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so it didn't have distribution prior to going to Sundance, but that doesn't mean that it was an indie film.
Well, you might be right. Did it have some kind of Well, as far as I know, independent films are stuff that don't have studio backing. Like technically Star Wars, The Phantom Menace is indie. Because it was privately funded.
Same thing with Hamlet 2, right? I mean, Hamlet 2 was not backed by a studio. They went out on a limb and spent $10 million and got $11 million in return. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
as long as you don't have a studio backing you, it's considered independent.
Yeah, and I like to talk about indie movies on all levels because this is Indie Movie Cast by title. But yeah, I mean, as far as I know, Splice was an independently funded film that was made, got accepted into Sundance, and then got purchased, and that will get a release. And I bring it up, Hannah, because last week we read an article where we were talking about where this guy was saying that's not going to happen anymore. Indie movies are dead, and we rebutted that. And so I just wanted to make note of it that not all indie movies are dead. Splice is coming to a theater near you, so hopefully it'll be good, and you should probably support it because it's still indie. But I don't know. Does that make sense, Hannah?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. So, let's get into trailer reactions real quickly. Toy Story 3 trailer, it came out. What? Wow, guys! Toy Story 3, give it to me. What do you think, Jay?
I dug it. I actually dug it. I thought that their trailer sequences. You know, they had the teaser, then they had the trailer. You know, first trailer, and then this one. Each one got progressively better. And so when I finally saw this last one, you know, just couple of minutes ago, I thought it was pretty cool. It looked really good. I thought it seemed like it was in the same spirit as the other two, and still inviting new material and new, you know, situations to occur. It still brought a freshness, I guess, but to familiar characters.
I think the same way as JT. I mean, I'm interested to see this. I kind of have a special place in my heart for Toy Story, but you know, I think it did a really good job. I'm interested to see where it goes. I mean, it's cool that they have this whole idea of toys as they progress through a kid's life, and there's always like more that a toy goes through. Like, I'm just selling right now all of my kid possessions, and I'm thinking about it myself about like how toys, you know, eventually get rid of them, and if they had a life, how would it be, you know? So I'm interested to see where it goes.
Hannah, what did you think?
I'm really excited. I don't really have a good reason for that, but I just really am. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah, well, what I like is what you said, Dominic, is the progression. This movie doesn't take place the next day after Toy Story 2. It takes place sort of in real time. Toy Story 2 was 10 years ago. This was kind of 10 years later. And so Andy is grown up and he's getting rid of his toys. My question is, how long do these toys live? Do they just live till they deteriorate or what? But I thought something was interesting because our friend BSJ, who has recorded with us before, he has it out for Pixar because he's Mr. 2D animation and he hates Toy Story because he says it's a ripoff of the Brave Little Toaster. Have you guys seen The Brave Little Toaster?
Years ago.
No.
It's a great movie.
Well, and I always thought BSJ was retarded. I was like, whatever. It's nothing like Brave Little Toaster. But this one's kind of like Brave Little Toaster. Brave Little Toaster is about a kid going to college and leaving his possessions, and the possessions trying to find him, and then the kid tries to get the possessions back. So I think Toy Story 3 might be a ripoff of Brave Little Toaster, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, okay.
I hate giving BSJ that much credit, but
I don't know. I mean, it hurts.
It's developed enough of. Oh, I mean, it has its own story going on, but I mean, yeah, you're gonna cross. I mean, in storytelling in general, like the same kind of ideas, but I mean, this is like they have their whole own group of people. It's not just the toaster. It's like group of toys that are.
Well, I know it has its own. It has its own characters. I'm just saying the story might be a little toastery, but I just observed that. I'm excited too. I'm excited. I love these characters. I'm excited to see them again, and the new characters look fun as well. It looks like they're introducing a slew. So
yeah,
I'm excited for Ken and Barbie.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's interesting that they haven't been in. Yeah, like the last one or whatever. You would think.
Well, the
maybe
last one
got the rights. Right.
I don't know.
It wasn't the last one, Jay. Are you crazy? Toy Story 2 has a whole Barbie scene. They go to the Barbie aisle.
I can't remember.
Oh, it's like a beach house.
Tour guide Barbie.
Yeah, and Barbie joins the cast.
Okay.
But no Ken.
Yeah, I guess this Barbie and this Ken have never seen a Barbie or Ken doll before. I don't know. You need to rewatch them, Jay.
Yeah, I do.
And one last trailer I just want to talk about. We haven't mentioned this movie on the show very much. It's The Last Airbender, this Shyamalan anime come to life thing. What is this all about? The trailer I thought was really interesting. I thought it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, all props to whoever cut that trailer together. Seriously.
Yeah, it's a cool trailer. I suggest you guys check it out. So, but my question is, Shyamalan, that's just the thing that throws me off about this movie. Yeah. That name is on top of it.
It seems like he kind of came to the realization that's like, okay, I gotta do something different.
He was employed by Disney and he did a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And quoted right off my head, but you know, he does come from that mentality anyway. So I mean, it's not surprising that he would go back to his original ways and stop doing own thing, but you know, I'm halfway interested. I still don't. I think Shyamalan's overrated, really.
I'll
go see it, but whatever.
Yeah, he's directing and he adapted it. It's a Japanese It's a Japanese animated children's show. It plays.
I don't think it's actually a Japanese anime. I think it's an American one, but in the format of anime.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Interesting.
American creators.
Well, anyway, that's interesting, Jay, because I just assumed it was anime.
But it's on Nickelodeon. Yeah,
I guess I'm just racist to cartoons, but because it looks like Japanese animation. It's drawn in that style.
Yeah.
You're right. American animating children. So Nickelodeon made this Avatar, the Airbender, and I guess Shyamalan's a fan. I don't know. I've heard Shyamalan in interviews talk about how he always wanted to make a Harry Potter movie.
Really?
Like he's a fan of it, like he was always interested. So maybe this is his, maybe that's what this is. Maybe it's something that he always wanted to do, some kind of kids thing. And this is supposedly the first part of a trilogy. And the cartoon's called Avatar, The Last Airbender, obviously because of Cameron's Avatar, they just substituted using it The Last Airbender. But
right.
I don't know. It's kind of, I didn't think I'd be interested in this, but I'm a little bit blown away.
From the trailer alone.
Why do you guys like it?
I don't know. I don't know why I like it. It's just he's kind of, I don't know. It looks very effects heavy.
I'm interested in it too, and I really don't know why. And I think it's because like when I watched it, like. These kind of trailers, they could, I don't know, that's why I'm saying give credit to whoever cut this trailer together, because they did a good job at making it look really cool, not campy. Maybe you guys feel differently. Maybe you do feel that it looks really campy, but it's just like, I don't know. And it looks like the kids who are playing in these roles look actually like really good. They seem to fit pretty well. And I kind of give Shyamalan credit because he can direct, you know, children pretty well.
Six Sense and you know what, I don't know, I just think he's like, when I see his directing, like all of the actors seem like they're deadpan and not interesting at all, so I don't know how well of a director he actually is, as opposed to a writer. He's probably a little bit better, but not a director.
I know what you're saying. Everybody has that spooky look to them in his movies. They're kind of like, ugh. They're kind of all dazed.
A little lackadaisical, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah, it's like when you watch Mel Gibson in Six Signs, he's like deadpan staring at the camera. You're like, where are
I think the
that could be contributed toward what Alex was brought up, like, you know, that thing where Shyamalan supposedly doesn't let anybody see his scripts, you know, ever, and so nobody really knows what they're shooting from one moment, you know, one scene to the next. So maybe, you know,
that sounds ridiculous.
I don't know.
That is ridiculous, and I think that is why Shyamalan's movies has been sucking a little bit, especially the last one. Good God, I hated that movie. Happening. But the Last Airbender, I wouldn't think he didn't show Nickelodeon the script of this one. I think he's going back.
Yeah,
I think he's doing it more by the book this time. And you know, it's kind of like Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith, it was a writer director that started to consistently suck, and so they kind of just gave him cop out, and so he's just directing. He didn't write it. But Hannah, what do you think? You're not interested at all?
I mean, I was curious. I mean, I kind of have maybe slightly different taste. I pretty much like a lot of different types of movies, and I loved the Harry Potters, but somehow the Harry Potters got me, whereas a lot of other fantasy type things can't. And I'm kind of over the whole, like sword Japanese, that like style of like Tai Chi, someone doing Tai Chi and then like pushing you away with their powers type thing. And so to me, like, this just looks kind of like overly epic and boring. And I am also a little bit tired of child superheroes. So, but I wouldn't, you know, I am always
curious.
Well,
me too,
I don't know.
We don't base movies based on the director. You know, it's like so interesting. Like, for the most part, we don't talk about, you know, you like want to see a movie, whatever. Even all of us who are directors and filmmakers, we don't think about like who directed it. Somehow, Shyamalan is a brand. Like, he's a brand. We just spent 10 minutes talking about him, whereas, you know, like any Toy Story, we didn't, you know, or you know what I mean, like, we don't always talk about who directed a movie. It might not matter.
We weren't talking Lasseter,
but he's like such an auteur that he gets talked about. I mean, that's interesting, and he's totally
he's bigger than he kind of overshadows his movies sometimes.
Yeah, maybe to a fault, because it sounds like you guys would have been way more interested if his name wasn't huge on the front.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I would have even noticed it if his name wasn't on the front. But I don't know. I don't know what to think. But I'm on board at least for a little while.
So far.
I know that little kid with the sword. I don't know. It just seems.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll
different.
See what's his name does as the main actor from Slumdog Millionaire. He's playing like the main antagonist, it looks like, in this movie. So. We'll see
that
how good.
Sound good.
Yeah, we'll see how well he does there.
All right, guys. Well, so there's Shmollywood. We'll see what happens with all this stuff, I guess. But we'll see you soon with Think How I Think, where we review The Wolfman. Oh. Think How I Think.
Got everybody into it. Wow.
Oh. All right, we went and saw The Wolfman, the four of us. Joe Johnston's
sure
Wolfman, the remake we've all been dying for. And boy, was it a spectacle of crap, I'll tell you. Oh my God, this is the second.
Where do
worst
you begin,
movie.
Alex? Where do you begin?
Where do I begin? I don't even know. This movie was. I don't know how I could have been so. I couldn't have been boreder, I thought. Boring, quote unquote horror movie. I don't know. I was. I didn't expect much from this movie, but man, it did everything wrong. I thought that the characters were so underdeveloped. I thought the dialogue was atrocious. I thought it wasn't scary. I could go on and on and on and on and on, but let's see what Hannah thinks. Hannah, you just saw it today. You have fresh eyes. What are your reactions?
Well, I also had very little expectation, and was pretty disappointed, but I wasn't really disappointed until the end, to be honest. I personally thought it was really scary, but I think a lot of movies are scary, and it was so gory. I didn't expect that. I mean, so frightfully gory that I actually like felt
goofy
a little bit
gory.
Scared. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it was gross, but I mean, it was like piles of intestines everywhere. Yeah, I would agree. It's
yeah.
like ew.
No,
but
I mean,
I don't know.
It's not like it's believable. It's not like it's haunting in that way or something like that. But I felt like I don't really like movies like that, so I felt a little bit misled. I don't know why, but I just like didn't expect that and felt a little sick about it. And I also this is my theory about creatures. Don't like show them really if you can help it, because when
yeah.
I didn't have to look closely at the beast, I kind of got into it. When I had
you
to look
it.
At the hairy fucking man, I hated it. Not scary.
Oh,
they looked like the Littles. You guys remember the
cartoons? It was bad. It was bad CGI and makeup. It
and
was
they're still wearing clothes and stuff. It's like, if you want to remake the old movie and then go full blown, like make it an old movie with the shadows and the hairy knuckles and whatever, then do that and have it be like, not to say a spoof, but like a tribute to an old movie. But if you're going to make it a modern day movie and you want to compete with modern day creatures, like you cannot stick a bunch of wig hair on a person's face.
Well, I mean,
and
I
also,
guess...
like, why weren't they wolves? They were, like, hairy men. Like, when they fought like men. That pissed me off. Like, I thought they should fight like animals.
Well, I think the answer to your questions, Hannah, is that they were... It's a remake of the Wolfman of a million years ago. The classic Universal monster. So I think... And that Wolfman was just a dude with hair glued to his face. And so I think they are trying to update the old look. But
well, that's
that
what I'm saying,
doesn't
though.
Necessarily
if they were trying
mean...
to do that... They didn't
yeah, so
do a good job because it didn't feel like a throwback.
Well, this Wolfman, it seems like there's two kinds of werewolves. There's the Wolfman Teen Wolf, man that's hairy, and then there's the guy who turns into the complete wolf, like an American Werewolf in Paris or Harry Potter or I guess Twilight and stuff. But I would agree.
Or Underworld. Where what is it called?
Yeah, Underworld, they kind of turn into a full-blown giant wolf. But so, yeah, as far as men wolf, this was a man-wolf kind of update. And it, like Jay said, it was a combination of makeup and CGI. And I wasn't impressed either. I thought it looked stupid. Dominic, were you impressed with the look of the wolf man?
No. I mean, I could get what they were saying about the throwback, too. I mean... Definitely, it looked a lot like the original one, but come on, this was 2010 for crying out loud. I mean, I didn't see that homage as being anything that was like respectful to the original, and I was just kind of like, I don't care.
Have you
like,
seen
it?
Original?
Was a guy in a suit. It was a
yes,
guy.
Yes, I have. I actually
have
Chewbacca
suit.
I have the, you know, the collection of Wolfman series, and you know, I've seen them, and it's just like. Yeah, I get it, and I get that you're trying to, you know, milk something that was done a long time ago, but no, it didn't work for me on so many levels. I thought the acting was okay, you know, Benicio del Toro wasn't convincible to me at all. I thought he was just like,
he was horrible.
Wrongly cast, and the same thing about every.
Well, he produced it, so.
And on top of that, I don't know. I just was not impressed by anything that this movie had to offer. And I went in thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to like this movie, but that doesn't necessarily mean that like in the past, it's changed my mind. I could go into a movie and could be completely blown away and just be like, wow, that's not what I expected. But this one, I was just like, oh, that's exactly what I expected, and I'm not impressed, and get me
out
of here.
It was worse than I expected, yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, is it just me, or could they not figure out what accent they were supposed to speak with?
Well,
yeah. Like, nobody maintained a consistent accent through the whole darn movie. Not even...
Well, especially
you know,
Benicio del Toro. I mean, he has a strong accent anyway. Like he has, I don't know, what is he? South American? But he was trying to do an American accent in an English setting. So it's like I don't know what is Benicio del Toro? Okay, so it's a Spanish guy playing a British guy and faking an American accent. And it was such a bad accent. He couldn't say one line that didn't sound
I mean, weird. Originally, I mean, his mother was Spanish. He did go to America, so he should have an American accent.
Well, I noticed that too, Dominic. I think they added those. I mean, the Spanish mother is to say, well, why, how could he be Anthony Hopkins' son? Is because he had a Spanish mother, which I'm fine with. But yeah, I think the whole mentioning of him going to America is just to kind of cover up this terrible accent that he had.
No, I agree. I mean, it's.
I don't even think
they wrote in a lot of things to make the characters work, and they didn't. They didn't work at all.
I don't even think Anthony Hopkins kept up a consistent accent. Nobody did.
Well, Anthony Hopkins played Anthony Hopkins. It's the same Anthony Hopkins you saw in Dracula.
You know, I'm so bored with Anthony Hopkins.
He plays the same. He's very typecast.
I mean, he's like the same guy in every single movie. He's like the intelligent, knows everything, but
father figure.
Father figure, but in the background, he's a little evil. And I'm just like, you know, you play yourself every single time. I'm not interested in your acting abilities.
Yeah, he's totally typecast, and he pretty much plays the same character as he did in Dracula, the other Universal Monster remake.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, very, very strange stuff. So yeah, but as you said, Jay, this movie, or as somebody said, this movie is just Universal trying to crank out money on stuff they own. I mean, this movie had, like you said, Benicio kind of produced it for Universal to star himself, and they couldn't find a director forever, and they kind of settled on Joe Johnston is what I read. And
what's Joe Johnston?
You know,
story?
Steven Sommers probably wasn't available, so they got Joe Johnston. You know, it's like,
well, you know, Hannah, but I mean, Joe Johnston did, you know, Jurassic Park
3.
There's golden boys of Universal right now, and they're Steven Sommers and Joe Johnston, which are both.
I wouldn't call them golden
directors.
Boys. I just call them the directors who could make our movies and make a buck off of them.
But you know what? They always go to them, so that's considered golden boys in my opinion. And you know what? They go to them for The Mummy and whatever. I mean, The Mummy was a good movie that Steven Sommers did.
First one.
Yeah, the first one. But after that, he got sucky, and I.
Well, the Mummy is an update. The Mummy's, I mean, these old monster movies, they're old. You know, The Mummy, I thought, was more of an update. It made it 90s because it was made in the 90s. You know, this one is like a remake of the original, and it didn't. I don't know what this was.
Oh, so
it wasn't.
Boring.
It was so boring. They weren't talking like real people. These characters weren't. There were six characters in the whole movie. And three of them were wolfmen, it seemed like.
And another thing is they try to cram all these, like, little scares out of you. Like, constantly.
Okay,
trying
yeah,
to,
let's,
like...
Well,
let's
that's,
talk about...
that's kind of what I was trying to say, is that those scare... Like, I get scared at stuff like that, and they had just a lot of, like, sound cue scares.
Yeah, it was just,
yeah,
like...
Sound effects.
Big, loud noise in your...
Like, it's totally manipulative. It's tiring for me. Like, I was, like, seriously, like... caught between bored and scared, because I get scared at that stuff, and it's like kind of fucked up to just like it's cheap filmmaking tricks, you know, and it's obnoxious.
It is, but you know, it's honestly what they went for from the get-go. I mean, being
that
having
stuff
this
sucks,
released
though.
On I know, but having this released on Valentine's Day, you know, it's definitely there for the, you know, dates going out to see a scary movie so they could get some later. And,
why couldn't
you know,
they make it scary?
It's completely
yeah, but
why
make it scary though. Stupid. I mean,
it
loud noise.
Loud.
Yeah, it was
and
just
you know
a
what?
Noisy
for...
movie. It was just a noisy. Movie. Like every 5 seconds was like bang,
yeah.
And you would jump because
it's like,
it's
oh,
like somebody.
Like...
It's like somebody yelling in your ear.
A lot of like of who our listeners are. I think you know we definitely dissect a movie more than a usual audience member does. I mean, people go in and they get scared and they love it and that's it. I mean, they completely appeal to that audience member.
No, I disagree. I don't
but
think
for us,
gonna like
we're
this
like,
movie.
You know
I don't
what?
Think.
Okay, no, the movie progresses and then the music gears up for it and you're ready for it and then it goes silent and you hit. And it does.
No, that's
and
cheap, Dominic,
goes,
and nobody likes that. I don't
no,
think there's a movie
cheap,
crowd
but
that...
It does, because I was listening to people behind me and next to me that were screaming like little girls, And I was like,
I jumped. It's like when you're asleep and somebody starts screaming in your ear, you'll jump, you know, you'll get scared.
But you know what? They go for that. That's unfortunate.
No one goes for that, dude. You go for that.
No, they do. It's sad, well, but they do. Oh, being working at a movie theater.
Listen.
For so long.
Yeah, you're like, the expert. Yeah, we know.
They go to expect that. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Okay, fine. Everybody loves these jumping, scary movies. Okay, fine. Whatever.
Just like Avatar. I'm sorry, but they go for that thrill.
Dominic, bring me someone on that likes The Wolfman and thought it was scary, and I'll believe you. Anybody.
No, I mean, it's got the entertainment factor for them, but of course,
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about stupid
We're talking about the
people?
General
I mean,
audience.
I think a general audience is not made up of idiots. I think a general audience is made up of smart people, usually, who don't buy into this stuff. And I don't think Wolfman is
I don't think so. I don't think you have to work at a movie theater to know what the general audience is. And well, it's definitely people that are going to be entertained for just, you know, the value of getting scared, and it's the value of being odd.
I think that's the attitude that studios have, and that's why they're
less than what it should be.
I want to say something.
Okay, please.
I think that if it was just like a movie that was gory and have these cheap scares and whatever, then I would have to agree with Dominic and say there are people who just go, they pay to get their kicks. It's like a ride. It's scary. It's gory. Whatever, their girlfriend screams and clings to them. Fine. But what I've been waiting to get to and want to see how you guys feel is the fact that there was pretty much zero story, zero arc, zero, like, I can't believe that this whole time, I thought the movie was so predictable as it was. Like, we knew immediately his dad was the main Wolfman. There's no surprises whatsoever. The only surprise to me was the long, boring torture sequence at the asylum, which I thought was, like, really strange and dark and creepy. But is the fact that we wait forever for her to be alone with him because everyone else could kill him with a silver bullet and he would die. But if someone of true love handles you, then blah, 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 you can be saved. And she shoots him with a silver bullet and he dies. Did I miss something?
Yeah, but what was with that Snow White line? You know, the true love. Yeah, that never played out. And you're right, Hannah. There was no story. There was no explanation of where this Wolfman disease came from, except there was a golem. Yeah, Gollum lived in a cave. Oh, okay. It came from Satan. This stuff is weak, man. I want some biological reason he's turning into a wolf. I want something. I want something at least a little bit. This was like some tale of some weird undeveloped folk story that's really, I don't know. It had no story. You're right, Hannah. No story. It was just, turns into a wolf man. His dad made him into a wolf man. The end.
Was there something I was missing, though? Because I felt like if anyone had shot him with a silver bullet, then he would have died. But because I felt like that was the only way to kill the Wolfman. And then she even deflects, you know, that cop who tries to kill him or whatever, the sheriff. She, like, saves him by pushing the gun away, and then she kills him with a silver bullet. Like, I thought she was – I would not have wanted to see her kiss him, but I thought there was going to be a kiss. Or if she shot him because she loved him, then he would live, but he wouldn't be a Wolfman anymore. Like, was there just some huge story hole?
I guess. I think
true love just kind of tames the beast. And so he wasn't all – I mean, they made it look like he wasn't completely ravaged when she's like, you know me. And he's like, oh, yeah, like the – you know, the human side is coming out of that. And then it was enough time to, like, shoot him.
But the other thing
that's
is
what it seemed like.
They didn't know
like,
each other.
Like, she tamed the beast, but –
They had one stone skipping scene together. They wasn't even developed enough to even bear.
I know.
You know. I oh man.
Look, you know, a masterpiece. This is not. But we're forgetting one of the dumbest. We're forgetting one scene that could have been so cool.
Oh yeah.
Probably made up for the whole movie, but it never happened. Never played out. A scene where he's you know in the psycho ward with about 100 doctors, who are just kind of you know like. You set up the scene. You know.
Okay, so at one point after he turns into Wolfman, he gets put into a mental hospital.
Yeah.
And his crazy mental hospital doctor who just tortures him for no reason, He wants to prove once and for all that he's not going to turn into a wolfman. So he gathers a group of 100 people. Anyway, it's really stupid, but the whole time you're just thinking, oh, these people are locked in the room with the wolfman. He's going to slaughter all of them.
And that's what he even says. That's the line. He's like, you idiots, get out of here. I'm going to kill all of you.
You're right.
You know, and he's like saying it. And then
it happens very predictably. He turns into a wolfman, but then he doesn't kill like any of them. He kills like one.
Yeah, he kills
guy.
Like two of them, and that's it. And you're thinking that, and they get locked in there, right? And like, oh no, they're locked in there. They can't get out. He's just going to massacre them all.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, oh, at least scene will be crazy and disturbing and cool. Maybe this is the scene that's going to sell me. And yeah, it was so weird.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen.
So
I'll kill all two of you.
And then it was like, well, what about the cost of production? They probably couldn't afford to kill all of those people. And, you know, Dominic and
that's
I came
when
up
you
with,
get
like,
creative.
Well, I know. I was just about to say that. We actually came up with, like, you know, several creative ways to actually, you know, give the indication to indicate that he does kill them all in very cool, disturbing ways without actually having to show it. And they don't even go there. So
you're right. It's not the fact that we want to see him die. It's the fact that we want those people to die because that's horrifying. He kills 50 people at once. That's horrifying. And then he goes.
Well,
that's what they set up too. Yeah. And then
they set it up that way.
It looks like he's going to go wreak havoc in London. But all he does is go hide under a bridge and leave. It's like, why'd he go to London at all? That was, man.
And JT, going back, I mean, that's what, you know, I'm sure, JT, Hannah, I mean, it definitely, you guys can think of a different way scenarios to set up how that could play out and get the same reaction that you want to get of, like, everybody dying. Without having huge production costs, and that separates like directors from the men for the boys, because it's like that's all you have to be is a little bit creative and costly at the same time. And
yeah, but Dominic, but the average audience isn't looking for that. They just want a couple people to die in that scene. That's what the average audience wants, right?
Well, you know, they'll probably accept it and go on because they'll get their scare later.
I was trying to make fun of you, but
I know you were, but I mean, Alex, I definitely get your point, and we are much smarter than
we are not smart people because we watch a lot of movies.
And please.
Well, I hate how you just think audiences are stupid because that's what I hate that audience thinks. Just because a movie gets paid, the thing about the movies is you pay for it whether it's good or not. Just because people
I understand that
and feeling the scene doesn't mean that's what people want to see. That's bullshit.
I know. I don't want to say that the average audience is like dumbed down by some means.
That's exactly what you're saying.
They expect less from their movies because that's all they're getting is thrill. It's all about the entertainment. And regardless of what you say, I've worked there for 10 years at a movie theater, and I see what the average audience is, and I know what they're coming for. And honestly, like at least 50% of those people come up and they don't have an idea what they want to see. They see a cool movie poster and they go see the movie. They may have seen, heard, or something about a movie and they go and see it. They just want to be entertained for the night. And, you know, for the parents that are, you know, just want to drop their kids off somewhere so they can have some time alone, they drop them off at a movie theater. Teenagers go to see a movie. They sneak into Wolfman. I mean, it's so sucky because there's so much art behind filmmaking, and I totally agree that it shouldn't be that way, but it kind of is. I mean, maybe
you know what the audience is like.
But I know. Okay, Dominic, I know what you're saying, but I guess my point is, even the dumb audience wouldn't like this movie, and I don't care who you know. Okay, maybe the dumb teenager. I'll even say dumb. Okay, these teenagers are stupider than us. Even though I don't really think that, but if I don't think these stupid teenagers would like the Wolfman, because even as somebody who doesn't know movies, they get compelled and they get interested by the same things we do. They are interested in story. They are interested in it, that keeps them awake. You know, it more than the lights and the spectacle. And you're right. Maybe people just show up. Maybe people pick out a poster. But whether they like that movie or not is based on the story in the end. I would say Avatar is something rare where everyone doesn't care about the story. I think people usually
I mean, I think
stupid or not. Jay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I think people in reflection realize if they like the movie or not. And a lot of people are, you know, when they're in the moment, a lot of that is flushed out. I think we do have an advantage that we're movie makers, so we know, you know, the construction, how it's and how the pacing is. But I think people kind of do go in there. Yeah. People go in there and they do watch it for what it is. And it's like the Phantom Menace effect, you know, everybody's gonna leave thinking it was great until they start to think about it later. And go, oh wait,
exactly.
That wasn't,
I mean, definitely, Alex, I totally agree. Like, they're gonna go as people grow up, and you know, even if they watch it on DVD, they're gonna be like, wow, why did I like this movie? I guess it was
kind of realized later
but
on.
But I disagree with
then,
you.
But then, it, you know, it's done its purpose. It's gotten the money that it needed to get to
I think that you're right.
Sucky.
You're right that, yeah, you're right that people go to see it for those reasons, because they just want a sit-back movie to be entertained and get scared. But Alex is totally right. This movie has to disappoint everyone. It has to. The makeup and the just everything is so bad. The lack of story, just the—I mean, we're all way beyond the hairy human. He's not scary. It's like there's zero suspense. He's always gonna evade the bullets. And for people who like—I mean, I get freaked out by gore, but for people who are into it, there's not even enough of that that's original.
No,
so
it's not.
It's boring. It's amazing.
I hate it too,
to be
but
so
you know,
slow.
I'll tell you what. My favorite part was when the
a lot of people will accept it. I just
okay. Jay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say my favorite part though was when we did finally have the werewolf showdown, and one of them rips off their shirt while the other keeps theirs on, so we can identify who is who.
Yeah, that's very Street Fighter. That's very Street Fighter of them. One should be
so stupid.
Like,
so stupid.
That was every movie does that. I think. The one with Jet Li, like, I think one of them ripped his shirt off, and then the other one kept it on, just so he can keep track of who's the good
exactly.
guy.
Exactly.
Well,
no,
I wish...
it's the, JT pointed, yeah, it's perfect. It's like,
but
so
it's so blatantly.
Well, I wish Transformers would do that, because Transformers has two robots that look exactly the same, and you can't tell what the hell's going on. But,
exactly. Well, you know, it's Michael Bay, too. It's like,
it's not the truck
close-up, so you're like, I see a robot, and I see... background? Wait, I don't even know what's going on.
When I saw this movie, there was someone who fell asleep behind me, and he was snoring, and it felt like 3D wolf growling effect. That was the coolest part.
Well, I almost fell asleep too, and the only thing that kept me awake was the loud noises. So maybe they put those in because they were putting their test audiences to sleep.
Also, we were like close to the screen because we got there a little bit late, and it's like, you know, those front speakers just blast you. It's like, ugh. Why
oh, they were blasting
sounds.
The back.
I think this movie was unusually loud. Yeah, I think
it was
what
unusually
about
loud.
Del Toro's
probably
really bad haircut.
Yeah, Benicio's haircut. He just looks stupid. He looked like he was drunk the whole movie. I mean,
this movie, you know, they could have gone. They could have made the fun and exciting one somehow, and covered up this mess by making it actually a little bit exciting
fun.
Instead of so fun instead of so dull and boring, but you know, they
could have gone the mummy route and made it a little more fun, or they could have gone a horror route and made it scary, and instead it's just this weird remake in the
mess.
Middle that's a mess. that's
a big mess.
The one nice thing I have to say about it is I thought the set design was pretty incredible, that big huge house, and even though it was like unmotivated, I really liked that there were like leaves in the house all the time. I thought that was like super weird and didn't have anything to do with the story and just like a bad choice, but I still thought it was
and spider webs. But it's like here's
I was like, why are they like leaving?
Yeah,
the
why is this house not taken care of? Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. There were spider webs everywhere. It's like, this is my faithful servant, and it's like, well, make your servant clean.
Sort of do
like,
something.
Yeah,
Jesus.
What is he, fire his ass.
He just waits for the full moon to lock you in a room. That's all this guy does. I mean,
it's funny. It's like Universal I mean, like the old classic Hollywood movies. It's like Dracula and Wolfman, and it's like, you know, they always have these huge castles with like everything's undone and spider webs everywhere and blah blah blah. It's like you have a lot of money. Why are you doing this?
But the Dracula reboot or remake or whatever that was done 100 years ago too, the one with Keanu Reeves, and Gary Oldman, Bram Stoker's Dracula, I think that is a good update. That's that movie is good. First of all, it's creepy, it's weird, it's updated yet still takes place in those old times, you know. And they should have taken a page out of that book, I think. But so I think we talked enough about this. I think this movie is bad for smart people and stupid people. I think all of you people will hate it. And I mean, it's not like Avatar where I just pick it apart while everyone else is just enjoying themselves. I don't think anyone will enjoy themselves in this movie. I think that you guys pretty much agree with me there. So, so let's wrap this up, guys. Thank you all for being here. This was a fun show. Hannah, thanks good for show. Coming back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're really excited about Day Doctor.
You have
Ultimatum's full support behind you, and I urge all of you to check it out. DateDoctorTV.com.
It was fun making the first three, and I think all of us had fun. And so it's gonna be. It's gonna
Can
be
I direct
cool
an episode?
No, not until season 2. Actually, I mean that is
it's,
something.
It's gonna be cool to work with you all year long on this because I like the concept and I think everybody enjoys it. So
I forgot that that's all that Jay likes to do is direct.
Yeah. Well. yeah, but
it's all I know how to do. I don't know how to set up lights. I don't know how to do it. So
but
you know how to run a camp.
But seriously, Hannah,
yeah.
it's
nobody trusts me with it though.
It's your show, but you know it's a series. You could bring on other directors if you want to. I mean,
I mean, that's what I was just trying to say just there is that I'm gonna definitely direct all of season one because I think it needs like a strong helm to get it through the first season. But it's always been a concept of mine to have guest writers and guest directors in future seasons. I think that's part of the collaboration. And the community in Albuquerque, and it's also like why one of the reasons I like a web series and making 13 a season is I know so many directors. I think it would be really cool to all get together and write the season 2 and then have guest directors.
Yeah, and you said that from the get-go. I remember having this concept, you know, pre-production meetings with you on the first three, and you definitely always had that in mind that season 2 would have like a different, you know, variety of people directing to... You know, once you get the overall look complete and, you know, where the story's going, that it would be nice to have, like, different ways.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people offer, besides Jay, on this first one, and I think it's important that I keep it connected.
I don't have to direct, I was just...
Well, Hannah, take that as a
background.
Hannah, if people are offering to direct your show, I would take that as a compliment and inspiration as well. So, so Day Doctor, guys, check it out. But I would need to wrap up the show, but yeah, thanks for coming on, Hannah, and we'll bring you on again soon.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. But thanks very much for listening. Please visit indiemoviecast.com. We welcome comments, questions, and suggestions to log on and contribute. And I've said that every show so far and nobody's logged on and contributed. So I urge you again to please do that. Remember, we don't only talk the talk. To see the movies we've made, log on to ultimatumpictures.com and become a fan on the Ultimatum Pictures Facebook page. Indie Movie Cast was put into the public domain in 2010 by Ultimatum Pictures. So long.
Bye.